Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Professor Sylvester Henderson. I'm Minister of Music of the Palmacia Baptist Church located in Hayward, California. During these last couple of months, I've come to realize, especially during the COVID time, that many people are, many persons in general are depending on their families, their loved ones, and their friends. But I'm understanding more and more what my mama told me years ago, that the only true person in life that you really can depend on is Jesus Christ. Even the one that you laying next to can love you, but you can't depend on them. It's only Jesus Christ. My dear friend, Reverend Jeffrey Scott from the Church of the Good Shepherd Baptist, associate minister, is going to come and sing for you, "Only What You Do for Christ Will Last."
Great cathedral.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And on tonight, I'm so blessed to welcome you to Every Man Standing in His Place for this Friday, October the 8th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, without further ado, here is your anointed host and facilitator, and as you just heard, soloist, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop Cook, and I want to thank God, and I want to thank you for allowing God to use you in this way of having Every Man Standing in His Place on Spirit Alive Network. I just thank you for the opportunity and also for you being very instrumental in helping me to grow in Christ. I love you, and I just thank you so much. God bless you.
Love you too, bro.
I want to say hello to all of our listeners out there. Spirit Alive Network is a network that is open to allowing God to use us to help you to come into a relationship with Christ if you don't know him, and to strengthen you during your relationship with Christ as we go through certain things in our life. So we're here to strengthen you. And today on Every Man Standing in His Place, There's a word today that's going to be coming from Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be starting at the first verse. But first, I want to open up with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we come to you this evening thanking you. Right now, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that has gone on today. We know that sometimes we have struggles, and those come to make us strong. We know that we have opposition, and that comes to make us strong. But we know that our strength is not within ourselves, but it's within you. It is what you have placed inside of us already, and you just continue to remind us that you're there. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Father God, for being who you are. We thank you for being close to us. We thank you for never leaving us. Father God, we worship and praise you. We praise you and we magnify you. We lift you up, Father God, because you are the Alpha and the Omega, Father God. You're the beginning and the end. All of that is in the middle. You're strengthening us to continue to grow in you. Now, Father God, I ask that you just continue to bring a word through me, Father God. I step back, Father God, and I pray that you step in and you be that word. You be the message that the people hear, Father God. Use me, your messenger, as your messenger to deliver your word to your people so that they can be touched by your word and come to you, Father God. These and other blessings we ask in the mighty precious name of Jesus. Amen. And as I said, today we are going to be in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be starting at the first verse, and I pray that this word will strengthen you for your walk, you know, and as I'm preaching to those that are listening, I am also preaching to myself because I myself need the word of God to survive. And so,
amen.
And so, starting with the first verse, it says, this is again, Colossians chapter 3, starting with the first verse. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life was hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And so in this passage, we hear Paul talking about a whole lot of things that we are to put off, and a whole lot of things that that we're to put to death, getting rid of a lot of things that would normally they would hinder us. And so when you are getting rid of these, you're moving them out of the way. But what are we moving them out of the way for? We are supposed to move these things out of the way to make room for God in our lives, to make room for God in our minds, to make room for God. So I want to title this text, Making Space for God. Making Space for God. And we see here, this is Paul. He's talking and he's trying to get the people to understand that there are things that we have to do away with in order for God to move in our lives. We have to get rid of the things that we want to do, or the things that we think we should do, when we are in trying times, when we're in uncertain times, when there are times of indecision, we go to the most familiar thing. Paul is saying, get rid of that. He's saying, move away from that. He's saying, your mind has to be transformed. Your mind has to, you have to make room for the right decision. I know all of these things in here that is talking about to put away with and to put to death. These things aren't things that are godly. These are things that are opposing God's will. So we have to make room for God. It says to think on those things which are above. You know, we have to think of things that are above, because of the simple fact that if we look at things that are underneath or things that are low, we're going to think of our mindset and the way we think and how we think things should go. But God operates in another way, where he allows us to see that we can rise above all the negativity, rise above all the backbiting and talking and all of the things, the fornication, all of these things. We can rise above that if we keep our minds above, things above, and not things of the earth. Because See, what the world does, the world tells us one way to act. The world tells us that we are successful if we are at the top level above others. If we are doing better than somebody else. In other words, our bar is set by looking at other people and what they're accomplishing or not accomplishing. That's where our bar is set for the world. But God is saying, look at things above that. Your bar should be higher than that. As a matter of fact, I've given you somebody that set the bar. When I sent my only begotten son, Jesus, down here, he set the bar for you to be, and no one here has been able to reach it ever since. Thing is that we are supposed to strive to be more like Christ, strive to look above and not at the things of the earth, because the things of the earth are not the things that are eternal. God has set our lives on something that's going to be eternal. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and we have to understand that if we try to strive to get to the bar that Jesus was at, then we could come close to the point where God truly wants us to be, and we can be prepared for the heaven that God has prepared for us. So we really have to understand that when we look at what it says here, it says, if you were raised with Christ, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, not just trying to be over somebody or over a situation or up higher than somebody thought that they could be, or be on your own pedestal to be worshipped by other people or to be looked at as a celebrity or whatever it is. That's not where God has called us to seek these. You know, we need to seek those things which are above, but it says where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If we have our mind set, or if we are seeking things beneath what God wants us to, then we're not seeking high enough. God is saying we're not seeking high enough. I look at the fact that, okay, for our young listeners, I don't know if they still use them in school, but it's a compass. Nowadays we use GPS. That gets us everywhere we need to go. But back in the day, they had this compass, and it always pointed towards the north. And you can always tell which direction you would go because it was round, it shaped like a watch, and it had the hand like a watch, and it would always point to north no matter what way you turn the dial or the compass. It would always point to north. So in other words, what I'm saying, we need to be like the hand on that dial, always pointing to God. No matter which way a situation turns us and tries to twist us up, no matter which direction something else tries to get us to go, we are always pointing at God. We are always going towards God. We are always listening to God. We are functioning the way that God wants us to. We're not going to deviate, because there's a whole lot of other directions you can go, and there's a whole lot of other directions you can look at on the compass. It says north, south, east, and west. Then they have northeast, southeast, and they have all of these different coordinates that you can use to get to different places. But when you have the compass of God in your heart and you are pointing north, or you're pointing directly to God, then that's all you can do is go towards God. No matter which way the dial spins, no matter if it falls, gets dropped, gets dirty, or whatever, you just wipe it off and look at the direction that's pointing to God and you follow that. You see, sometimes we lose our way because we start looking at all the different directions that are on the compass. We start looking we can say, okay, if this is a direction I can go this way, we start looking at the area and say, this looks like it'll be an easier road to go. You know, I know it says to go north, but it's hills over there. I don't feel like climbing no hills. I don't feel like climbing no mountains and going through these mountains where goats can travel and all of this kind of stuff. I don't want to go there. I want to go on the flatland where it looks like it's easy. I want to go where the sun seems like it's shining all the time because I don't want to get into any situations that I can't get out of. I want to go in this simple direction. But God is saying that direction is not for you. When God says that direction is not for you, our mind says that we still want to go that direction because it looks easier or it looks like something that we can do or something looks like something we are used to. And so God is trying to say in our walk, in our talk, in whatever it is that we're doing, we are supposed to set our minds on things above. We're supposed to speak those things which are above and set our mind on those things which are above, because those are the things that are going to guide us through our life. Those are the things that are going to be allow us to be fruitful and be the people that God has called us to be. When we are looking at God, it's kind of hard to look at your fellow man or your fellow woman and look at them and put them down. It's hard to look at somebody and leave them in a stressed out or a bad situation. It's hard to leave somebody when they're in troubled times. It's hard to just leave somebody when you see a tear falling from their eye. You have to do something. You have to pray for them. You have to talk to them. You have to engage them. You have to smile to them. You have to give them some type of encouragement to let them know that no matter what's going on, thing is going to be all right. I know it seems like the earth has got you down. It seems like everything is trying to hinder you from your growth that God wants for you. But I'm here to let you know that when it says that we have died with Christ because Christ came down and died with us, he took all of the bad things. He took all of the negative. He took all of the sin down there with him to be buried. He took the sin to be buried. And when he came up, we rise up with him, and God sees God doesn't see the sin anymore, but he sees us as his children. And so that's why we have to set our minds on things above. We have to set our mind on things that God wants us to, because if we look at things on the earth, we are going to choose earthly ways to deal with spiritual battles. We're going to look at earthly ways to try to cure our spiritual problems. You see, the one thing about this is that we can't go into this halfway. We can't go into God's word halfway. We can't go into living a godly life halfway. We have to do it all the way. In other words, when we say no to something which is sin, then we have to say yes to something else, which is God. Because if we say no to sin, but we don't say yes to God, we're still leaving space for another no to come back up. We're leaving space for a maybe to come back. Or don't catch me on my prayed up, on my unprayed hour. Don't catch me when I'm in a bad mood, because something might come out that you don't want or that you don't expect, and you won't even know how to deal with it. Don't catch me at that time, because I will reach down and get some stuff. I got it. I still got it in me. But we're supposed to say no to that, and we're supposed to say yes to God. If we say yes to God, we can't go back and get that stuff. Can't go back and get negative. We can't try to conquer sin with another sin. We can't try to be mean to somebody that was going to be mean to us, or to hurt somebody that hurt us. What we have to do is we have to look at what God said, and he said that we pray for those that spitefully misuse you. We love our enemies. But does that mean that we're supposed to be a pushover or anything like that? No, because God loved us. If we love the same way God does, God, he corrects those that he loves. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do the same thing. That we love, correct those, just be in the mind frame of correcting somebody, but correcting them in love. See, we can't get mad at somebody because they don't have our same frame of mind. We can't get upset with somebody because they don't think the same and they won't do the same. There will be people that will do negative things to you. There will be things that come up in your mind. There will be oppositions that come up. There will be temptations that come up. Look, it says here, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Put to death. It doesn't say put it to sleep so it can wake back up. It doesn't say let it rest, you know, so it can rejuvenate and get more power and come back again. It doesn't say, put it to bed. Like some people may have an argument and they'll say, well, it's time. We need to just put that to bed. We need to put that to rest, meaning that it's going to be picked up at a later date when they feel like arguing again. That's not the point. The point is just to let that go because the argument isn't the problem at that point. The problem is our spiritual set right there, our spiritual mindset. Because our spiritual mindset is going to say, we are not going to argue. But if I'm looking at the things if I'm looking at the earth, earthly things, if I'm looking at things below and things of the earth, then I'm going to look at an argument. I'm going to try to win that battle. I'm going to try to win the argument. I'm going to try to make myself seem like I'm more than what I am because I'm going to win the argument. But that's not the point. That's not what God wants us to look at. God wants us to look at him and see how he does things. In other words, we need to live out our life as a child of God. We're supposed to, when we're facing opposition, when we're facing times of trouble, when we're facing temptation, we're supposed to live out how God wants us to live out. And it says here, the members that we put to death, which are on earth, are fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And all that could fall under the line of idolatry, because if we're not adhering to the word of God when any of these temptations come about, then we're idolizing that more than we do God. We're idolizing that more than we do God's word. We're looking at that more than we look at God's word. Then we look at how we want God to change our life. And we say we want God to change our lives and we want to live right and we want to live holy. But how are we going to do that when we continue to accept these things that are tempting us, when we get upset or when we get mad, or even if we see somebody that catches our eye or anything like that? We can say we want to live for God, but do we live for God? Do we look at those things,
come on, bro,
which are above,
hallelujah,
where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father?
That's
we
good.
Need to look at where Christ is. Christ is trying to show us the way. The way is in the word of God. If we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed of the gospel, rightly dividing the word of truth, if we don't show ourselves to be Christ-like in any kind of way, then how do we expect to be able to look at those things above? We can't do that. We can't have our minds set on things that are high, that are on high. We can't have our minds set on God's word. We can't be directed by God's word because we're not looking at that. We're looking to an earthly solution for a spiritual problem. So we have to get that out of there because we have to make space and make room for God in our lives so we can make a godly decision, so we can do the things that God has called us to do. Not that we can do it on our own, because we can't. We cannot do this on our own. We need the Lord God to guide us and lead us every day. The only way that we're going to get him to do that is we have to study his word, and we have to pray. And it says what? Seek his face. We really have to understand that we need to look for God in our troubles, in our problems, in our situations. We need to look toward God. When we're tempted, we need to look toward God. You know, it's like when you when I was talking about the compass. You know, if you turn around and go back the other way, you're going south. We usually say that north represents up and south represents down. So if I'm looking towards God, I'm looking towards the north. But if I'm looking towards south, where am I looking? We have to look at that in the fact that whatever is opposing God, if we're not doing God's will, we're doing what's opposed, and we're doing something against God. But we're supposed to keep our mind set on things above. It says in Philippians, it says, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Those things are the things that are above, sitting with Christ at the right hand of the Father. You see, in other words, the thing that we need to look towards will be the things that deserve praise, or should I say people that deserve praise. It should be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that it says if anything is excellent, Christ is only excellent. We're not excellent, so he deserves the praise. Because when we messed up, what did he do? He came down to save us. He's trying to make us excellent in the Father's eyes. But the thing is that we have to truly accept him. And if we accept him, we're going to have our minds set on those things which are above. And how else can we do that? It says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy mouth out of your language. Oh, that sounds like a big argument to me. That sounds like a big argument. Because when somebody, think about this, when somebody gets angry, what does it lead them to? It leads them to wrath and malice. And then they start talking, and then the blasphemy and filthy language comes out the mouth.
Come on, teach, bro.
And so when we look at how this is building up, we have to look at what am I going to say instead of these things? Because I did say I said I'm going to say no to sin, and if these things are sin, what am I going to say yes to? And if I'm saying yes to God, there has to be some words that I have to have in place of all of this stuff that could, in place of all of the filthy language that could come out of my mouth. There has to be some words, or should I say, a word that comes out of my mouth. That's why it's so imperative that we study the word of God for when things come about that try to get us angry, because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And if we get angry, we have to know how to love somebody in our anger. We have to know how to encourage somebody when we're angry. We have to know how to build somebody up when we're angry, because it's not about our feelings or how we feel, but it's for us to be obedient to God's word. When we think about how we feel, our feelings can turn on and off like a faucet, but God's word stays the same. And so we need to understand that being obedient to God's word means that we won't change because of our situation.
We won't change because we are angry. We won't change because we're filled with because wrath is trying to fill us, or we're thinking about being blasphemous or anything. Those things won't even enter into your mind if we think of those things that are above. Have our mindset on those things that are above. In other words, when somebody is angry at you, you let them know that I understand that you're angry, and I understand, you know, and I know there's a situation here, but we have to allow room for God in this situation, because we are not trying to go at each other with this. This is nothing but a spiritual battle that we have to understand. God can take control of it if we just let go of the anger, let go of all of the stuff that's happening in our lives, and just come together as children of God. God will work this out. God will work out the things in your life that you don't even understand that he'll work out. You might have anger in your heart and want to do somebody wrong, or vice versa. Somebody may want to do wrong to you, but God has a way of stepping in and answering a prayer that has been prayed a long time ago about your situation today. How many times can you say that I'm living off of the prayers of my grandparents? I'm living off of the prayers of my parents. I'm living off of the prayers of my pastor or my bishop, because I know they prayed for me. Because when I was angry and I thought I was going to do something harmful, something in my heart said, no, you can't do that, but turn to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. You need to come to Jesus just now, because he'll work everything out. He'll make everything all right. He'll make your heart turn around, and instead of having hate in your heart, you will have love in your heart, and you will pray for that, for those that are spitefully misusing or mistreating you. And so it says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Some people, we can say, well, take off a jacket and then put it on because they like the style. Okay? Now get this, they'll take off a jacket, and it may even be hot outside. If you're gonna take pictures or somebody else coming door, they'll put the jacket on real quick, because they like the style. But look at this. It says, when you put off the old man with his deeds, does it matter truly what your outside looks like when it really counts? Because it says, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, you're not worried about how people see you in that jacket. You're not worried about what you're wearing. You're not worried about how you look towards other people. The only thing that you're worried about is how you look to God and how God has dressed you.
That.
God has dressed you for every weather that could come your way. He's dressed you for severe heat, for severe storm, for severe cold. For God has dressed you for everything severe. All you have to do is just continue wearing what he's given you to wear, and put on what he's continued to have you put on, because with that you can weather any storm. You can go through any heat wave. You can go through how much rain you have to go through. It doesn't even matter, because God has dressed you for that season. And it says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And we always think about that scripture, and it says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's not that God hasn't given us the knowledge. Have we put it on? Have we used the knowledge that God has given us, or do we think we're too smart for our own good? Do we think that we know everything And we have the answer. To that. That's one thing. There's a lot of people that think they have the answer to everything and don't know nothing, but will try to lead you in a way to something. But they can't lead you to something if they don't know nothing truly, especially if they don't know the word of God. If they don't know the word of God, they're truly not going to be able to lead you nowhere, because you're the one that's supposed to be leading them. When it comes to God's word, are we trying to allow people to see that God can renew your knowledge? He can renew you as a person. Like he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. In other words, if you reject God's knowledge, if I reject God's knowledge, then I can't represent him. I cannot represent God because I'm not studying his word. I can't represent God because I'm not living his word.
Preach.
I cannot represent God because in times of trouble, I go back to my own vices and I try to settle things the way that I used to when God has called me to do it another way.
Make it plain, bro. Come on.
He called me not to match your anger with my anger, but to battle your anger with my love. And how do I do
Hallelujah.
That? I have to use the love of God. God, I have to go in deep and get the love that God has given me and shown me. That's the only way, because our strength don't come from ourselves. Our strength comes from God. It says what? We can't boast about our own strength and ourselves. We only can boast about God's strength. We only can boast about God. If I boast, I boast about who? About God. And it says here that, it sounds funny. It sounds funny when we think about it, because we try to do things the way that we think things are going to work out best, and not just best for us, but best for everybody. That's what we would want. But then when it talks about Romans 12:2, where it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's also another part to that, and it says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, if my mind is changed, it's not going to be changed to my will. It's going to be changed to God's will. My will has done enough damage to my life. My will has done so much treachery to my own life. I've done some things that I'm not proud of, and those things are things that I've done. But now it says to be not conformed to this world, because my mind was conformed to this world. But it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How am I going to get my mind renewed? By studying God's word and learning how he wants me to live my life, and learning how he wants me to touch others' lives, and just having me to be his child in challenging circumstances, so I can see how good he is and how powerful he is and how much he can work through me, that I can continue to praise him whenever trouble comes. I can continue to praise him whenever opposition comes. I can continue to praise him when I don't know what I'm going to do. I can continue to praise him when I get sick and
Come
the doctors
on.
Say they don't know what to do. I can continue to praise God because my
yes,
mind
sir.
Is renewed. I have a renewed way of looking at
Hallelujah,
things. And
Jesus.
I have to understand that that Jesus Christ is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because he willed to come down to earth to die for our sins. He took all of that, all of the negative things, all of the things that we shouldn't ought do, and all the things that took us away from what God wanted for us. He took all of that on him and took it to the grave. And when he took it to the grave, it stayed there. But then 3 days later, he came up, and he came up so God's vision could see us as his children again. Now we have the opportunity. Now you have the opportunity. So all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes. Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Believe that he died for you, and on the third day he rose. And if we admit these things, if we say these things, and we believe it in our heart, then we should what? Truly, we should be saved. And that's
yes.
our call for those that are listening today that don't know Christ in the pardon of your sins. We've all been there where we had to address that fact that I don't know God the way that I thought I knew him. Or I've
yes,
never known
yes.
God. But now is your time. You can come and accept him. You can accept him as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come to him and just confess with your mouth the Lord
yes.
Jesus and believe in your heart that he died and God raised him from the dead on the third day. He rose.
Yes, sir.
For you and for me. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. First and foremost, I would just like to praise God for the message and for the messenger. Glory to God. Beloved, if you are in our studio tonight and you would just like to put a praise on this anointed word because it most certainly does not need to be preached. The word of God went out, and I know it is doing what it was set out to do. But if you'd like to put a praise on it, or you have a question for Pastor, or you would like to give your life to Christ, hallelujah, press your 1 on your keypad, and that will alert me that you would like to come into this praise party. If you are sitting in our chat rooms and you like to give your life to Christ, hallelujah, just type in, I'm giving my life to Christ, and I will let Pastor Scott know that, and he will pray with you. But while I'm checking the room for ones, Pastor Scott, I just want to say, first and foremost, excellent, timely word. I love the way God works through, the entire gambit of this ministry. We have been in prayer.
Amen.
As you know, we have been in prayer. And I wanted to pray specifically for the issues of the heart because we have servant leaders puffed up standing in pulpits, rebuking every evil spirit, every working of the flesh under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
We can pray against those, but until we deal with the issues of the heart.
Amen. Amen.
Wrath,
right.
Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication.
Mm-hmm.
Until we begin to pray about these things, because these things are the things that keep us stumbling. These things are the things that keep us deceiving. These things are the things that cut us off from God.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I love what you said about, what are we looking at? What compass are we following? You know, it's like, Christians today have allowed so much worldliness into the church,
mm-hmm.
That like, as you said, even they are trying to solve spiritual problems with worldly means,
Amen.
Instead of checking themselves, obeying Colossians 3:8-9. Instead of being slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to anger, quick to forgive, we're running around telling them, well, I don't drink, well, I don't smoke, well, I don't, well, you know what? That's why the word of God says it's the small foxes. See those things that you can't. And like you said, oh, on Sunday, you know, or when we go out, they want to put, we want to throw on this cloak of a form of religion. Okay. And we want to look all spiritual.
Uh-huh.
But the minute we're not, you know, we're because we're performing instead of walking with the Lord. You know, and I love how you just, you basically just preached or taught the message to our prayers, why we're praying these prayers. Because if we don't get this right, how can we be the people of God that can pray so that God will move and heal the land? Now, we all running around talking about 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 16. Okay, well, okay. This is how we become the holy, righteous people of God that can pray, that have enough sense to humble ourselves, seek his face, and we're turning from our wicked ways because we are laying down anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications. We're not running around lying to one another. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
But we are loving people through our anger and their anger. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We are encouraging others. Hallelujah. With a humble spirit. We're forgiving other people because we want to be forgiven.
Amen.
See,
that's right.
The true people of God, let me tell you something. When times get tough, when they're shown adversity, they will show you Jesus. So, my brother, I just want to thank you for this timely message. And I want to say to my dear sister who I know is listening how much we all love her and how much we are praying and pulling for her just because she's our sister and we love her. And, my brother, I really want to thank you. And this word was so important that I want to bind this word with prayer. And then I will turn your program back over to you so that you may close. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to refill our brother, re-pour into him as he just poured out mightily upon your people. Lord, bless the man of God. Hallelujah. And we want to thank you for this mighty word. And, Lord, I just pray right now for every person that hears this word, that they would come, Lord God, to lay aside everything that will separate them from you, not just what people can see, but, Lord, let them lay aside those issues of the heart.
Yes.
Because you, Lord God, look at the heart. So we want to get that right first. Lord, we don't want to do anything that would hinder us full access to your benefits, Lord, or to your kingdom.
Yes.
So, Lord, teach us how to walk away and say no to Satan and yes to you.
Yes.
Allow us to have our "it is written" ready. Allow us to have this word grafted on our hearts as we read it. Allow us, Lord God, to pray boldly according to your word, expecting, trusting, and believing that you will move. Ah, glory.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, we just want to thank you right now for what you're already doing.
Thank you.
We just want to thank you, Lord, for being God all by yourself.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, we just want to thank you for using us and the ministry, each and every one of us, Lord, to proclaim your glory, proclaim your goodness, proclaim your ways, God, because it is you and you alone that can save us. And Lord, I want to thank you right now for all the new converts. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would surround themselves with sold out believers, not people that just have a form of religion, Lord, but people that love you and have a relationship with you and know how to walk with you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that they would just allow themselves to be in, just filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, so that he might lead them and guide them, teach them all understanding of your word. And, Lord, we just pray that they study to show themselves approved so they don't have to depend on the word of another man, but they can get it directly from you. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for the mighty man of God. We want to thank you, Lord, that we know he is pleasing to you and he has blessed your people on this night. I pray it all in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen and amen. Brother Pastor, I now return your program over to you.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop. And I want to just I pray that someone was touched by the message today. I pray that that we all got the understanding that God wanted us to have and that we can continue to give him praise, glory, and honor. And now, from Spirit Alive, we just wish you a good night. We pray that you acknowledge Jesus Christ in all you do and that you be ye transformed. Good night, everybody, and I love you guys.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Pastor. Amen. Good night, love.
God bless. I love you. Good night.